Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. You know, I imagine what most people know about the news in recent 2 or 3 weeks, and it looks like it'll last for 2 or 3 more months, all about the election, which is important to a lot of people. Somebody rewrote an article that I, or a statement I made a few months ago or years ago, and that elections are more or less to pacify the people, because in my lifetime I haven't really seen change in policy. So you might just have to call me a cynic or something. But there's still a lot of talk about it, and people are, you know, lining up, and it's the most important election ever, you know, this whole thing. But sometimes I like to look around for the things that they are ignoring that might be in the news. And right now, I think there is an item that is being ignored, even though we talk about it. And that has to do with what's going on in Syria and the number of people killing and the bombs being dropped. So there was a recent article out that we have, and matter of fact, you had it on the Institute for Peace and Prosperity, and emphasized the fact that there are up to 50,000 bombs that they dropped. And it's not chicken feed, you know, billions of dollars, and you can't really add up all the pain and suffering that come from it. But the article showed that just recently there were 200 civilians killed, and but not our government didn't tell us that, because they don't report the civilians, the collateral damage, that's incidental. But 200 civilians, according to an independent source, were killed by these bombs. Can you imagine what would happen if somebody came 6,000 miles from elsewhere and came and dropped a bunch of bombs, not 50,000, 2 or 3, and killed a couple people? But killing a couple hundred like this in a bombing run, you know, it's a big deal, but it's totally ignored. You know, it's not an item. So are you very optimistic that this bombing procedure in the Middle East is going to solve anybody's problems? What are the odds of that happening?
You know, it really is pretty shameful the way the media handles these issues. And, you know, all of these events in Germany and even in the U.S., these scattered events, well, they're horrific and they're terrible. But however, they pale in comparison to just one of these attacks in places like Syria, and even in Baghdad, which last week had a huge bombing, hundreds of people killed there. It's just simply not reported. You know, the Eiffel Tower went up in the colors of Germany after this horrible attack, but nothing. It didn't go up in the Syrian flag after these several hundred people were killed in a U.S. and French bombing run. And as a matter of fact, they say that the French were enthusiastic about it because they wanted to avenge Nice by bombing Syria, when the guy who did Nice was a Tunisian.
Yeah, and there's always somebody waiting for an emergency. You know, those who want to take the guns away from law-abiding citizens, this is a chance to do it. And then others who want to expand the war for other reasons, they say, well, you know, this is a terrorist attack. But what happens in Syria is not a terrorist attack. This is to be totally ignored. But if you have a single individual here, even if he's a single person acting on his own, he goes out and shoots and kills some people, it will be seen as a, you know, perceived at least by a lot of Americans with the help of the media, that this is a terrorist attack. And then you hear the candidates saying, tough, get tougher on it. We need to bomb people. Bomb them more. I do it quickly. Let's go bomb them all. And I just can't see the logic of this. But it seems that it's difficult for me to understand the gullibility of the American people to say, you know, the end is coming. The end is coming. And not look at these things. You know, and I've mentioned before, as others have, that yes, these killings are terrible. You know, these single shooters that go in, and I think there was one today, and they go in there and they go nuts and they shoot and kill some people. But the inner city carnage is not reported. So this is something that generates, you know, fear and anger and then support. But it's false. It's false to think that, yeah, we really need somebody that's going to get rid of ISIS, because ISIS is about to take over the world. And course, the first thing is Ron Paul doesn't care about ISIS, doesn't think they're dangerous. They are. That's why I'm concerned about it, because I think one thing they ignore is they never ask what motivates people to be so desperate in defending their homeland. If nobody sees them as you know, going off their rocker and committing suicide and killing people, and it's the motivation of somebody invading their homeland, but nobody wants to consider that. All the discussion going on today about foreign policy, they never say, you know, it's time we sit down and talk about a change in our foreign policy.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people will resist this, but it's hard to not call what happened in Syria an act of terrorism, you know, and it's not only the 200 people that died, but imagine the rest of the population now that day by day lives in fear, will a bomb come down and take out my family? Imagine what that must feel like as you go about your daily routine, never knowing if that'll happen.
You know, we're looking at 15 years of being over there and the bombing and troops on the ground when we had more troops on the ground. Hasn't proven to help. Every time we accelerate to think we're going to do something, accomplish something, you know, it fails. And so I would say the last 15 years have been a total failure, and the carnage and the loss of life and all the money we've spent, and yet we're still in the bombing business. But no troops on the ground, which is a lie too, because there are troops on the ground. Plenty. We just don't have many body bags, and therefore people can continue to ignore this. But I wanted to sort of draw an analogy to why we should talk about the foreign policy of accomplishing anything with just dropping bombs. And of course, I remember the 60s very well, having been in the military at the time. But you know, even then, I wasn't aware of the bombing going on in Laos, and you know, and we knew a little bit about Cambodia, but you know, we elected Nixon, you know, to change all that and to get us out of Vietnam. But he said, well, no, you want me to win. So after Nixon wins, he goes and another 30,000 Americans die. But in Laos, we dropped a lot of bombs. And it was a secret war. It was undeclared, a secret war. And they dropped 1 million bombs. And yes, 50,000 is not as much, but it's still the principle. And who knows what 50 might be? It might continue because we're not going to have anybody get up and say, you know, we need to come home and quit bombing and killing people because it's not working. But during that secret war against Laos, it was 2.5 million tons of bombs, and that is horrible. But if you compare it to how many bombs we dropped in World War II, we only dropped 2 million tons of bombs. So we dropped more on Laos, and Laos is the size of Utah. I mean, and it didn't work, but nobody stops and says, you know, maybe we ought to reassess it. And in Vietnam, we dropped 7 million tons of bombs, almost four times as much as World War II, and we came home with our tail between our legs. We still have people arguing, well, we needed more troops on the ground. We had already sent over 800,000 Americans over there to try to teach them a lesson on how to be good Westerners. Total failure, and I frequently refer to that as we achieved a lot more in peace than we did in war because we at least talked to the Vietnamese and trained with them.
And you hear the same thing about Iraq now these days. If we had just stayed in longer, we would have won it. It would have been stable. But, you know, you mentioned ISIS earlier and the strategy to defeat ISIS and how bombs don't seem to be working. I wrote a little something over the weekend where I pointed out that, you know, we went into Afghanistan ostensibly to get rid of bin Laden, but we stayed and we stuck around to do regime change and nation building and all these things because we were told we got to get rid of the Taliban. These are the worst guys in the world, horrible guys. You got to get rid of them. Well, it turns out now after 15 years, they're being slowly pushed out by something much worse that wasn't there when we started, and that's ISIS. Right. And there was a huge bomb in Kabul over the last couple of days. And so we've gotten rid of these guys, but someone worse came in. Nobody's connecting the dots.
And I understand the drug business is still doing pretty well over there. But, you know, the other thing is who gets killed and who gets hit makes a difference emotionally. And just recently, this past week, there were four clinics in Aleppo, Syria, that were bombed. And we don't know all the details on patients or who were killed. But that doesn't happen infrequently. But the real point is it's not a secret war. But it's an invisible war. It's ignored, The American people don't want to hear it. And the last thing that they would open up their minds to is, could this be terrorism that is being perpetuated against a people over there? No, we're just trying to kill ISIS because they're bad people, even though there might only be a very, very small percentage of very, very bad people. But the recruiting benefit from the bombing, I think, is tremendous. I think they benefit much more the enemy, and to build an enemy, I think they wanted. They see themselves as defending their homeland, and they have the motivation because somebody's come a long distance, and they keep dropping bombs on them. Already 50,000 bombs, since in the last 2 years. That was since the acceleration of the war under Obama, accelerating and expanding the war into Syria. But zero benefit as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of negatives when you think of the cost of war and the perpetual enemies that we build. I cannot see how one single bomb has done anything worthwhile, especially in these last 2 years of these 50,000 bombs that we've dropped.
Well, there are a lot of homes inside the Beltway that have been spruced up and a lot nicer. A lot more people are wealthy because of this, the people working in the defense industry.
You're talking about the military industrial complex.
But, Aleppo is particularly tragic because while the U.S. says that it's fighting ISIS there, it doesn't want ISIS to be defeated and have Assad win. So the U.S. is fighting a sort of triangular war to get rid of ISIS, but to also get rid of the guys who are fighting ISIS and to get our moderates in. And remember, we talked about it last week. These are the moderates that cut off this young boy's head last week, the 11, 12-year-old boy's head. These are our guys. These are the guys we want to put in power in Aleppo.
And I think when you have problems like this in a country, in a region, it should be done by the neighbors, And Turkey certainly is a neighbor. And look at the chaos over there right now. And that's a consequence of a foreign policy and a domestic policy that is in some way related to us because they're part of NATO and they're supposed to take orders from us and they're sick and tired of us. And yet we have an air base in Turkey and we have nukes stored there. It's a mess, and I think we just make it a lot worse, the fact that we're there and remaking the Middle East. That was the chant, back at after 9/11, we got to get over there and remake the Middle East. And we've been, the West has been remaking the Middle East for a long time. And, especially since World War I, doesn't seem to work very well.
From remaking it even worse. Our friend Peter Van Buren has a good article out today that we put up on the site too. And he makes a good point. He must have been thinking what you were thinking this morning because he talks about the two major candidates and how their prescription for what to do about this war on ISIS is a disaster. It's more of the same. He said Trump wants to declare war, make it a legal declaration of war. Hillary wants to intensify the air campaign, more support for locals that are fighting there. That means our moderate rebels. But he points out the result of this bombing and the result of our existing policy that they want to continue has only been blowback in Belgium, in Nice, in Germany. And he said until we admit that this doesn't work and we have to do something very different, it's going to continue down this path. So we're going to have to get used to more blowback.
And of course, the neocons represent the group that really want more activity over there in the Middle East. But I don't think there's a lot of evidence that the neocons have totally shied away from the Trump campaign. Isn't there evidence that some very dedicated neocons are involved in his campaign?
Yeah, I think, if you talk about someone like Giuliani, who you have fond memories of, I know, I don't think you get any more neocon than him. And the General Flynn is his sidekick is Michael Ledeen, who's one of the neocon ideologists. So they're certainly spreading themselves among both candidates.
Yeah, that's for sure. So I don't see much of a way out of this because they're talking about how to manage a problem. And the problem is that there's a conflict between East and West, been going on for a bit. There's a civil strife in the region, both in countries and religious strife. And that from my viewpoint and the viewpoint of others, hopefully someday we'll be in an influential position to convince other people, and that is why don't we mind our own business? Why don't we stay out of it? Their instinct was that, you know, in World War I, and it was overcome by Woodrow Wilson, said, no, we got to go, we got to go, you know, unnecessarily. And I've always argued that World War I and World War II was just one big war of intervention and being involved. And you know, the founders were never perfect in not spreading their wings because they were making our borders bigger. But they were pretty explicit about staying out of these European wars and the entangling alliances to get into. And look at the, if you want to talk about an entangling alliance, I think it has to be NATO. And this whole idea that NATO's not good, we all probably ought to get rid of it, but if they're going to be there, I'm going to give them some orders, and we're going to collect bills from them, make them pay, you know, and then everything will be okay. Yeah. And how you, well, anyway, I don't want to deal with that.
It's pretty naive, but, you know, I think American people need to, this we talked about, I think, even before we started the show, the American people have to look at Syria and realize they're being ripped off. They should demand an accounting. How much have we achieved for these 50,000 bombs, $6 billion in dropping these bombs? They should ask, they should pay attention to what's happening here.
Well, it's being ignored and totally ignored by our media and people disinterested, and they can be distracted by a pretend election. You know, it is like a secret war. Laos was deliberately secret, and people didn't know exactly what was going on, and we never got any help from the media either to tell us. But here we're not getting the help, and there's very few that are really talking about the real problems. And to me, the problems is the apathy of the American people to let people who want to demagogue and scare people into saying, well, we need a powerful government to redistribute wealth, because otherwise everybody's going to starve to death. And that's why we need socialistic, type of issues and intervention and welfareism. And then also the people who listen and say, the world is a tough place. It's a violent place, and we've been subjected to it, but it's never our fault. Well, that's unpatriotic to say, to criticize America. But what about criticizing our own government? There's a few people who criticize. As a matter of fact, nobody believes anything our government tells us, which is a healthy sign. But I think the solution ultimately comes by substituting bad ideas with good ideas. I don't believe any time that people are neutral on ideas, because interventionism is an idea, and intervening overseas is an ideological position to take, and essentially all the politicians, except for one or two here and there, endorse this whole idea. So it is an ideological struggle that people have to realize that the world is better off when we get out of these kind of problems and accept the fact that we can defend our country, set examples for other people, much better than saying we are an exceptional nation, we know what is best, we have a moral responsibility because nobody else will take care of the bad guys, and therefore we have to be the boss. I think that's wrong. I think it's morally wrong. I think it's constitutionally wrong, and I think it's a total failure. So why do we do this? There's too much control by the information the American people get, and there's too much control by the financial interests, whether it's the financial industries or whether it's the military-industrial complex. People make a lot of money off this deal. These 50,000 bombs, the manufacturer of these bombs, you know, they probably don't even, they're probably not cheering when people die, but they certainly cheer when they go off, you know, because they get to build them again. And if weapons don't work, we keep using them. We keep building F-35s. We keep building aircraft carriers that don't work. It's on and on. But the profiteers keep making profits. I would like to see the day when those of us who defend and want individual liberty and personal responsibility, that we win. That is what we want. We don't want to be given anything special or get something from somebody else because we were able to manipulate the government. What we want is our freedom. We want our liberty. We want to emphasize the importance of individual liberty and de-emphasize big government. And the bigger the government, the less liberty the individual has. That should be our goal. want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.